Welcome back to another episode here of the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast on a crazy, crazy week for us. An absolutely insane week for us. We've had the David Fifita news from Friday where Dave is leaving us. He's going to the Roosters. You know, woe is me. The world is over. Then we get Sunday. We've got the Cowboys. We beat the Cowboys in crazy circumstances. And now, as we're going to talk about today as well, we have some crazy news that Dave Fifita is staying. It is an absolute whirlwind. Clarky, myself, we're exhausted. But if you are brand new here on the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast, this is a place that all Titans fans come together. We talk about the men's game. We talk about the women's game when it's on. It's coming up actually quite soon. We've got Women's State of Origin this week. Tonight for you guys, actually, when you're listening to this podcast. We talk about the Host Plus Cup action, which is the Tweedhead Seagulls and the Ipswich Jets. And we talk about everything involving our community. That's what we like to do here. That's what we want to do here. Just really big up our community and come together as one. But obviously, my name is Blaze. I'm from BKR Sport. And we are joined every single week by the beautiful man. That is Dane from Clarkie's Rugby League column. Mate, how are we feeling after a whirlwind of a week?
Crazy week, crazy win. Absolute whirlwind of a week, as you said, and our viewers on YouTube right now are probably like, whoa, what's going on? This isn't how the show usually looks. We're trying something new out here. Look, we totally didn't start to record the podcast last night as if Dave Fifita was a rooster and say some not so nice things about Dave. We didn't go at him too hard, but certainly weren't giving him as much love as we will tonight. Now we know Dave is staying
there. I will jump in there and say that it's crazy, right? We weren't saying anything like anything really, really bad. We'll just obviously explain the situation the night before the news has dropped here. As again, we'll get into more in depth into it in a second, but you know, we'll tell you a crazy story. So with myself and Dane, we've never had a problem with this podcast. It usually flows fine. It's great. You know, the OBS that we use is usually fantastic. But last night, just as we were recording, 15 minutes in, we were talking about the Dave Fifita situation. And that's when my computer completely froze. It completely froze. And usually I turn it off, I turn it on, we get back on and it's there. And then we just have to continue on, right? But this one didn't. This one did not work. Now, you guys may know, Clark, he's actually up here for Magic Round this weekend. And we decided, you know what, let's just record it tomorrow. You know, let's just record tomorrow. It was a big mess. And then we heard the news this morning and we're like, well, geez, something's looking out for us, mate. Something is looking out for us because now we're able to conversate about the hot topic that is Dave Fifita staying rather than, you know, saying, you know, enjoy your Kevin Durant premiership at the Sydney Roosters.
So, that was actually, you know, the last thing I heard you say when it cut out. That was literally the last thing you said. Go on and get your premiership, Kevin Durant, and then you froze and the file was corrupt. So I'm not sure if Kevin Durant has it out for the podcast or... But look, I'm actually in my parents' bedroom right now. I've got my laptop balancing on pillows and I'm on one of my mum's uncomfortable antique chairs. But I tell you guys what, I would record this podcast naked in Antarctica if I had to for you guys. I'd do it. That's how much I love the Gold Coast Titans frontline. I will be there for you guys. Couple of housekeeping rules, guys, before we start. If you're on YouTube, you can see it on the banner below. If you're not on YouTube, well, you're only hearing my voice. Give us a rating, please. Follow us on Apple, Spotify. And if you are on YouTube, subscribe, like. I know we say it every week, but it does help our community grow. And if you want to leave us an audio message to react to in the Phone the Frontline section, you can do that also via the link in the podcast description or the YouTube description. Let's move into our Titans news segment. Those on YouTube are seeing it change down the bottom. Wow, technology, how cool is it? We have a members event at the 4X Brewery from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. for Magic Round. That is this Saturday. Blaze and I will both be there. We would love to see you there. We would love to talk Titans with you. So please, if you do come, enjoy the day and please come up and say g'day to us. It would be absolutely awesome to meet some of the Gold Coast Titans frontline members. Because, of course, we're all coming from Australia for this event. And after we won against the Cowboys, mate, you were telling me you actually heard someone behind you say, I can't wait for the podcast this week. How awesome is that? That is super cool.
It was amazing, man. We were talking about this last night, but yeah, it was crazy. So we had the big moment where obviously the try was saved. And I just remember hearing somebody, or it might have been at halftime. I can't remember, but there was someone behind me. Shout out to whoever you are. But I heard somebody say, I can't wait to listen to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline podcast this week. I think it was just like Titans podcast and whatnot. But they were referring to us. And we really do appreciate that. You know, obviously we're in the thick of the game. We're probably up 20-0 or 20-6 at one point. We're looking the goods. Obviously, we know what happens next. But, you know, it was really great to hear somebody say that. I don't know if they meant for me to hear that or whatnot. But at the end of the day, I heard that. So whoever that was, much love. We appreciate the support, absolutely, especially in a real tense moment that we were obviously in that game.
Oh, it's so awesome that people are thinking of us, you know, during any time. Our aim for this podcast, you know, it's to bring the best possible podcast that we can for Titans fan, because we're both really passionate about our community and we really want to uplift, inspire, and just get everyone in the front line, get everyone behind the Titans, because we are on a good thing here. Speaking of good things, mate, let's give a huge congratulations to our Titans girls, Jamie Chapman, Ivania Politi, Emily Bass, Shannon Marto, Jessica Elliston, Talia Fuimaono, Lauren Brown, who have all been included in the Women's State of Origin match, which you can watch later tonight on Channel 9. So fantastic, man, to see so many Titans there coming off the grand final, of course. I want to get your thoughts on which of those Titans girls do you think will be most influential for their side in State of Origin today?
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. I'll actually be live streaming it on BKR Sport with my my live commentary and whatnot. So if you guys have got nothing better to do, you want to listen to my commentary, definitely join along. But yeah, look, I'm really excited for this, man. It's going to be a great series. We've got three games in the series now compared to two. Queensland obviously coming off the back of a victory last year via points differential. So now we've got a, you know, no doubt about it, three-game series, which is going to be awesome. But if I was to look at, you know, a player from both Queensland and New South Wales, now, do remember, guys, myself and Clarkey, we're both Queensland fans, so there might be a little bit of bias for you. There may be a little bit of bias. But then again, the Gold Coast Titans are based in Queensland, except for you guys down there in Tweed. But we still love you regardless. I think if I'm looking at the Blues, you know, the player that I'm really looking forward to watching is Jamie Chapo. Jamie Chapman has been absolutely fantastic for us. She's just a try-scoring machine. Scored a hat-trick in the grand final. Scored a couple of hat-tricks, actually, towards the back end of last year. She's absolutely crushing it when it comes to the Titans women. And she's going to come in and she's going to do a job there for New South Wales, absolutely. And that's why we signed her, because she is, for me, the best centre in the game right now. I think she is on form and she is the best centre in the game. But with Queensland, go the Maroons, son. Who do I look for there? There's definitely a few. We've got some big-time forwards. I am going to go and have a look at Ivania Politi as well, to be honest with you. Ivania Politi is an ex-sevens player. Does some good work with our club, actually, at the moment as well. She's working with the club. And, yeah, she's a fantastic player for the Titans women's team. Usually plays fullback for us. I think she's in the seven because we've got Tamika Upton as the fullback. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Clarky. But
centres, I believe, for Politi.
Yeah, Politi goes into the centres there. And I think she's just as damaging as you want. So, look, for me, New South Wales, Jamie Chapo, she's the in-form centre. And for Queensland, I'm taking Politi, who just does an absolutely fantastic job every time she runs out in the field.
Mate, love that. Politi was easily one of our best in every game last year. Just so dangerous with her touches. And, you know, we've seen in Origin, whether it's the women's or the men's over the years, fullbacks that go to that centre position can really be dangerous in attack. And on Jamie Chapman, I agree with your comments there. You know, we always say we hate to make parallels to the men's game, but just because the women's game is so new still, you know, we don't have those sort of, I guess, as many examples to draw on. She's like a Valentine Holmes, where she is an elite centre, but you stick her on the wing and somehow she gets better. So I'm excited to see Chapman do well, but I don't want her to do too well, of course.
You had to compare her to a Queenslander, though, didn't you? You had to compare her to a Queenslander. Yeah.
Chapo, El Chapo is a Queenslander at heart. She just doesn't know it yet. For the Maroons, I can't split Shannon Marto and Jessica Elliston, and we couldn't split them last year in the NRLW season either, because they just went neck and neck with each other. Jess would be slightly better one game. Shannon would be better the next. And the fact we have both starting front row forwards in an Origin side is absolutely insane in the women's game, but we could have the same in the men's game. And we could have the same in the men's game next year with Tino and Mo. So we literally could have the best front row pairing in both NRL and NRLW. So they're my two men to watch. That is going to be exciting there. I'm actually going to go to the game with my mum. So looking forward to that. One charge from last week, guys. Mueki Fodawaker received a grade one dangerous contact charge. So he'll receive a $3,000 fine, but no suspension. The club has also launched our 2024 NRL Indigenous jerseys. And why this is special is we've also launched an Indigenous jersey for the women's team as well, which is actually a first. I don't believe any other teams have done this before. What I'm doing now, Blaze, is just bringing it on screen so that people can see it there on YouTube. So there's Lofiana Khan Pereira wearing it. There's Chapo and Lofi, two of our Indigenous players. And you'll see that woman to the Lofi's left there. That's actually his mother, and she helped design this jersey. So this is, I believe, maybe recency bias, he plays, but do you reckon this could be our best Indigenous jersey ever? And the fact it's got that family touch makes it even more special.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. How did you actually find out that was Lofi's mum? I just got a little question for you. How did you find out it was Lofi's mum? Was it maybe that you heard it last night on the podcast before our podcast hit freeze?
I don't reveal my sources, mate. A good journalist never reveals his sources. I read the article, of course. No, of course, you did point that out for me. So, yeah, the Gold Coast Titans NRLW 2024 Indigenous jersey features artwork by Sylvia Khan Kuri Dubai, an Aboriginal woman with strong cultural ties and connection into the Bundjalung tribe. So there you go. You can read all about it on our website, guys.
It is an amazing jersey, man. Like, I really do love it. Like, obviously, it's great that we do have a really quality Indigenous touch, and it's also great that we're going to have probably Lofi playing in this game, because obviously Lofi hasn't been playing for a few weeks, and now it'd be great to really be able to inject him into this game and to wear the jersey that his mother has helped create and whatnot, and really looking forward to it. It's an amazing jersey, beautifully done, and, yeah, really, really good. And we've got a great connection with the Indigenous, with Jaden Campbell, with obviously Preston Campbell from back in the day, Lofi, Brian Kelly, the likes, right? So, yeah, really good stuff.
Absolutely, man. That's the women's one on screen now. So it's actually a different major sponsor to our men's side, which is kind of exciting for our women's side, I guess, getting their own corporate opportunities, which shows the growth of women's sport on the Gold Coast. The two birds you see on there, one is from Lofi's tribe and one is from Jamie. So that's really cool. They're incorporating both our men's and women's. Overall, a super cool jersey, man. If I had one critique, it's just the sponsor of Lottery Offers. And I have that critique about most Indigenous jerseys. I feel like the sponsors just take away from the beautiful artwork. So it's not just our club I'm saying that about. But it was literally the only bad thing I can say. Apart from that, it is amazing. Alrighty, let's go to the elephant in the room. My notes here suggest Dave is a Sydney Rooster. We now know he is not a Sydney Rooster. So I haven't prepared at all for this, mate. Do you want to go first or do you want me to free ball here? Free ball?
Yeah,
free
look.
Hand.
Yeah, free ball's a bit of a dodgy one, mate. But, you know, we move. I'll go first here and I'll say, you know, for Titans fans out there, this is a massive signing retention-wise. It is a massive signing retention-wise. Now, I will be, you know, I will be the devil's advocate in saying that you don't have to feel like you were wrong to feel the way you did on Friday, because that did happen. We did receive official acknowledgement from the club that Dave was leaving and Dave was going to the Sydney Roosters, right? We saw that. That was official. So as long as you weren't swearing, you know, carrying on like crazy and, you know, going for the him and being behind it, then you're okay to feel the way that you did because he was leaving. Now, obviously, I've had some pretty strong opinions in regards to this, in regards to it being the third time a year and a half and blah, 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 right? So, but I will say that if he's playing a jersey for us and he is signing for us and he is staying with us, I'm going to support him all the way, right? That doesn't mean that we just pretend like it didn't happen. I still have that little bit of an irky feeling, like there's a lot of question marks surrounding it. I do believe, though, that Dave has decided to sign. I don't know this, just pure speculation, but I do believe that Cowboys game, and I was speaking to a person that I always talk about, a person from the front line, Rhonda, and we were basically saying that try-saving tackle could actually have been the reason why Dave decided to stay, because if we lose that game, he doesn't have that happy moment. He doesn't have that feeling, that energy that was in the stadium. Wow-wee, was that energy crazy. And I think Dave recognized and realized we've got a good thing going here. You know, we actually do have a club that is building and I want to stay here. And I do think there is a few other contextual things that, you know, maybe going on with other clubs that might have given a bit of Nick Politis a scare. But at the end of the day, Dave is here. We move. No Kevin Durant anymore. Now he wins a premiership here with Oklahoma City Thunder rather than going to Golden State Warriors, Gold Coast Titans, Roosters. And, you know, happy Dave is staying. But obviously, there has been a few. Actually, I've got a question as well here on my Instagram. I've been spamming Instagram today. Obviously, it was a big day. I got an Instagram saying, you know, do you still question his loyalty? They said they heard us talking on the podcast and we said basically that even if he was to stay, do you question his loyalty? Now, the issue with that was that we were originally talking about, regardless of actually leaving and then coming back, we were talking about if he just decided to stay. I think that with the fact that he's had the offer, and with the fact that it was a good opportunity for him, and then he has decided after a couple of days, no, you know what? I want to stay here. It's a little bit irky, but I do feel like him staying has proven that he does genuinely believe in what we're building here. So I don't think that the loyalty question comes into account now. I think that he has decided for himself. And I don't think we have anything to worry about. Obviously, we'll only find out about this in a about a year and a half's time when we get to that November 1st deadline and you can start to look at other contracts past this. But yeah, look, at the end of the day, man, Dave is our player and I support him now.
Yeah, I'll always support Dave. Even when he was leaving, I said, look, I won't support him, but I said, I don't hold any ill will or resentment towards him. I'm not salty about it. It's because he's made a decision in his best interest. And in the podcast we recorded and subsequently lost, I actually said, if we get to a mid-season point and it's unlikely we're going to play finals, we should probably drop Dave and get him out of our side because that's what's best for our future. I think there is a level of hurt here amongst Titans fans that Dave has put us through the media with this stuff so many times. But I do think this will blow over. And people will forget about this in a year or so, but it comes back to Dave. It's ultimately up to Dave to repay us fans who are now jumping back on the bandwagon, I suppose, and showing that love and support to him. It's up to Dave now to repay us with some strong performances like he has been and keep that form up for us all year. When he was leaving Blaze, we spoke about, you know, reframing our mindset to what's the silver lining. And at that stage, it was where we get to reshape our salary cap. The silver lining in this one now is we keep Shaylee Bent because she was already in talks with John Strange, who was the Sydney Roosters NRLW coach. And what they were offering her was a chance to transition to the centres. At our club, Shaylee will not be able to play centre because we have Niall Williams-Guthrie and, of course, Jamie Chapman. Neither of them, we can't justify moving them. Although Niall is probably at the tail end of her career. She might only play another couple seasons. So the silver lining is here now we have to have a chat with Shaylee and say, hey, we absolutely need and want you in our NRLW side. We know you missed out on Origin Game 1. Don't know what happened for the rest of the series. We need you to play in back row for a few more years, get that hunger back. And then when Niall eventually retires, that center position is yours for as long as you want here with Dave on the Gold Coast. So there is another silver lining in all of this. But outside of that, mate, I think you absolutely nailed it.
You know, it's quite funny. I reckon that people are going to think that, you know, we've recorded that podcast last night, and then because this news, they're going to think that we've just started up and done it again, when that's not true. But I reckon that people are going to be like, oh, you know what? They've recorded a full hour and a half video, and it's not happening. It just didn't happen. So, yeah, guys, at the end of the day, support our team, support our club, support our boy. Yes, there is hurt. Yes, there is confusion. Yes, there is a whole heap of Josh Stradamuses, as you might see in the you know, in the Titans fan club groups and whatnot. But, you know, we just have to believe in Desi, man. I think this is a really big moment here for Des to show that Des is here to stay, man. And Des is rocking, Des is rolling, and we're able to re-sign players, big players, and big club the big club. We just big club the Roosters. The Roosters have come out with a salty response saying, oh, no, it was us. No, it was us. They admitted that Dave was the one who came with the potential that he was getting cold feet. So that right there means it was initiated by Dave. So that means right there, we just big clubbed the big club.
Yeah, I mean, the other silver lining is the Panthers wanted him as well. Obviously, not sure how those negotiations went, and there is an element of Dave wanting to remain home. But certainly Dave had options to go to some of the most elite clubs in this competition. The fact we can retain him is absolutely brilliant. Final point for me on this, mate. I found it so funny that 5 days ago when Dave was a Rooster, he was the best back rower, destructive. He's going to be an absolute gun. And now he's lazy and he just doesn't want to play footy in September, and he's overrated and he's everything under the sun. So stuff those people, Dave. We've got your back. The Titans fans.
And also fun fact for everyone as well. This is about 10 years to the day, Cherry Evans. Fun fact. So out of all the teams, so there's been two massive backflips in history. We're a part of both of them, one on either side. The Cherry Evans one was obviously much more significant because that went for a month and a half. We lost players, you know, it was a whole destruction there. This one's been across like 4 or 5 days, realistically, right? But it is about 10 years to the day that the Cherry Evans fiasco did happen. So it's great to get one back.
I'm fairly sure that Manly kept him with illegal money outside of the cap, right? And they got found out a few years later? Or was that all alleged?
I think that might be alleged. I'm not too sure about that one, so I'm going to stay out of that conversation. Okay.
Yeah, let's say it was alleged. And then there was also a Storm winger that we signed back in the day, mate, in 2007. And then he backflipped on us to stay with the Storm, and the Storm sent us two rookies instead who never played NRL.
I do briefly sort of remember. I was very young, though. I was very young.
Yeah, I've got his face, that. But I can't think of his name.
You would have been so young at that time when we're talking 2007. You would have been like how old?
Yeah, it would have been 10, but I was doing a segment recently where I was exploring the biggest backflips in NRL history. Of course, DC was the biggest. There was others like Josh Papali'i, James Tedesco to the Raiders, a few other interesting ones, but I do remember that one with our club as well, and a Storm winger in 2007, but I can't picture his name. Alrighty, guys, you know what time it is. It is time for a blast from the past. And if you're on YouTube, you're now realizing I'm in control of the show right now. And Blaze is like, why is he zooming in on our faces? Oh, he didn't see it.
I didn't see it. I'll see it when I'm editing it. We'll see if it makes it.
Alrighty. Blast from the past. This is my blast from the past this round. Guys, I'm going back to round 11 of the 2018 NRL season. We played the Knights at home, and a certain player known to the game at the time as Alexander Brimson, not AJ Brimson yet, was playing his second NRL game after debuting against the Storm in a tough loss the week prior. With 5 minutes to go, scores are locked, 26 all. Ash Taylor puts up a crossfield kick. Dale Copley, he jumps up, he bats the ball back. AJ Brimson picks it up, and he scores his first NRL try in the corner. Brimson's my favorite player, so I remember this like it was yesterday. 3 minutes later, Ash Taylor kicks a field goal, and we win our first game in what was snapping a five-game losing streak. Do you have any other memory? Were you at this game, actually? You would have been, right?
I would have been at this game, but you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? We had two simpins in this game, Big Mo and Jared Wallace. Really? Yeah. You're talking about the 33-26 right back in round 19, round 11? Yep. Round 11, Saturday 19th of May. Mo Aiken for the Waker went off at the 41st minute and Jared Wallace went off at the 51st minute. So basically, for 20 minutes of this game in the second half, we were down to, a man for 20 minutes. So that's absolutely crazy. I can't specifically remember a great deal of this game, but I would have been there, you know. I've been to a lot of games, guys. Please do forgive me if I don't recall every single one of them. You know, to win 33-26 at home would have been an absolutely fantastic day. Love to see Is Don Is Good on the score sheet there. But it's crazy as well. This is all the way back in 2018. You've got Phil Sammy, who scored a double. You've seen AJ Brimdog Millionaire, Daddy Brimdog, score a try as well. And you're seeing Mike Von Awake on the team as well. So people say, you know, people always request youngsters that are from the club. Well, guess what? That's exactly what we do, because we've currently got three guys here who are on this on the stat sheet. Actually, let me just quickly see if there's any others. I don't know if there would be any others. You got Phil Sammy, AJ Brimo, Wallace only left last year, to be fair. Maxi King. We've just got those. What's that? Sorry.
I wish we could have kept Maxi. I always liked him, but
I
guess
Max,
he probably would have gone to that next level if he didn't go to the Storm, perhaps.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man. I love Maxi King and his family. Amazing. But yeah, Mike Fodawaker, Phil Sammy, and AJ Brimson all playing this game. So that is 6 years ago now, and it shows that we do keep our players and do develop our own players.
Spot on, mate. I tell you what, our Titans trivia section is up now. I'm going to hit you with an impromptu one.
Here we go.
How many generations in Max King's family have played professional rugby league here in Australia?
Oh, that's a rant. That's a really – this is a purely guess, educated guess, if you must. I will say, I'm going to go between three or four. You know what? I'll go four.
Nailed it, mate. His dad played, his granddad played, and his great pop played as well. So Maxi King is a fourth. And I believe he's him and his partner are expecting a child. So there's big pressure on the upcoming king. Or if it's a female or a male, they gotta make the big leagues and continue.
Gotta make the big leagues, son. And at the Gold Coast too.
Yes, that'd be great there. Alrighty, so for our Titans trivia, guys, last week we did say we're going to change it up a little bit. This is the first week of us trialing this, and of course we are open to your feedback. Blaze, I've got the question for you this week. You've got one for me next week. Now, this is a tough question because I don't even remember the answer, and I only looked it up a day ago. It is in relation to the team we're versing this week, the Knights. What was the last season or seasons where we beat the Knights in back-to-back games?
Oh, that's a great one, because as we are about to define today, we get really big wins at home, but we get really big floggings away. So, yeah, this is a really hard one. So I'd be going back a few years, to be fair. I'd be looking
I don't want to give you a hint too early, but you're on the money there with when we verse them at home, we win. When we're at their home ground, they win. So it's around seasons where not everyone was playing at their home games.
Oh, well, okay. So 2020 then, right?
And
2021.
Yes, in 2020 we won. Was that too big of a hint?
That was a massive hint. You basically, when was the last time that we didn't play all of our games at home? Of course, that the only time that happens is when there was a massive COVID breakout thing happening. So,
all right, I've got another trivia question for you. How much do we win by this weekend?
probably, let's go with 76. No, let's go with 87, because then we're bang on 0 points differential. Slap. Right answer.
Mate. Stop the count right now. You've won the Titans trivia section for the year. Round 11? No, sorry, in 2020, we won 36-6 against them. And then in 2021, we won 42-16. And I think in the 2020 game, it was like a reduced crowd because it was during the COVID season.
2020 would have been probably no crowd. 2021 was the reduced crowds, wasn't it? I don't think there was any crowds pretty much ever in that 2020 season, was there, except for maybe the finals and whatnot. I could be wrong. I was stuck in Fiji at the time, and then I was stuck in Sydney. So that was a blur of a couple of years.
Yeah, mate, it's a year everyone is happy to put behind them. Let's move to our next segment. It is the review of our last round. Let's recap it. So we beat the North Queensland Cowboys. We both tipped the Titans here. I thought the opening 20 minutes, like Titans bias aside, this was a super entertaining game of footy, man. It's the fun brand that fans love, where it's not the usual slow ruck, where it's like, you know, the Melbourne Storm, three in the tackle, one peels off, the next two get up at marker, and it's slowed down and boring. This was fast footy, energetic play, early shifts, end-to-end stuff, and, you know, both sides could have been better defensively, but as a fan of the game, it was absolutely awesome. I think it's worth noting as well that with Kieran Foran going off in the final 20, we were down to one person on the bench, and then we lost Harley Smith Shields. So we had like Isaac Liu playing wing, Bo Firma playing center. We had props and locks defending where a 5'8" than a halfback usually would. That was a Des Hasler performance. Like, genuinely, if you go through every single coach in NRL history, you can probably only get that performance from a Des Hasler team and a Craig Bellamy team. I genuinely believe that it was a Des Hasler performance where it's just so gutsy that afterwards you're sitting there saying, how did we win that? And let's not forget, the Cowboys were the number one attacking side on points scored per average coming into this. We had middle forwards that played the full 80. Super brave effort by the club, mate. You know, if this was the Broncos or the Roosters and they played like we did with no one on the bench to finish the game, can you imagine the praises they'd be getting right now on NRL 360 and Channel 9 and all the footy shows? Everyone would be saying that's the best performance ever. But because we're a tiny club, we don't get that praise, guys. So it's up to us as Titans frontline members and as fans of the Titans to really, you know, celebrate that. Our team did something. Yeah, our team did something really special, man. That is our last five games now that have been decided by 4 points or less. So I would have liked for this one not to be as close because I don't like tight finishes, but I do when we get the win. I think to sum it all up, mate, we got exactly what I expected from this game. Coming into it, I think I said the Cowboys have a higher ceiling than us. When they play their best, they can perform at a higher level than we can. But because they're inconsistent and because we're an effort side for the full 80, I think that's enough to get us home. That's literally what we saw. Literally what we saw, in my opinion. How was it there with the atmosphere? I've heard really good things. And how did you see the game from the grandstands?
Mate, the atmosphere was absolutely phenomenal. This game, you could tell for the first half that everyone was just jubilant. They were happy. I will put it out there that, you know, there was obviously rumours that people were going to boo Dave Fifita and whatnot. And then apparently on the broadcast, you could really hear a significant amount of boos for him. I can promise you at the stadium, there wasn't many boos at all. Like, there might have been like one or two that you could hear around the ground, but it wasn't significant. So I really, truly do believe that the broadcast has enhanced that to make it sound like there is a lot of boos there. Or maybe I'm just in my own world, but there was a lot of people around me who also had the same thought process there. And I definitely, and the people around me in the front line, we don't boo our players. So that definitely wasn't happening there for the most part. Maybe a couple people here and there. Overall, this game, I also think that I got it spot on as well. I really do. Because we led 20-0 in the first half. And we were phenomenal. We were the much more dominant team. And I said, it's going to come down to defense. It's going to come down against a Cowboys team that can score and score and score. It's going to come down to us being able to achieve that Desi Hasler mindset and be that defensive structure team. And that's exactly what we saw. 20-0 in the first half. 20-0. You could see when Foran went off the field. Kieran Foran is such a leader. He is so integral to this team. I don't want to hear any slander towards him. He has been one of our biggest signings in many years, because when he is on the field, this Titans team has a leader that really gets them across the park. They know what they're doing. When he went off, that's when you could see the ship start to sink. Now, again, we also had four players off the field for their last little frenzy. Their last, I think, three tries, if I'm not mistaken, were scored off of the fact that we had no bench. We had Cleese Huss play the full 80, I believe, in the middle. We had Sammy Verrills coming into the halves, but also defending in the centres as well. We had Bowie Fermat, as you said, playing in the centres. We had players all over the shop, all over the park. And this was a prime game to lose. Like, this team last year, that game last year, we would have lost that game 100%. We could have even still lost that game 13 plus, to be completely honest with you, but we didn't. We found a way to get over the line. And the amount of try-saving tackles in this game was actually ridiculous. Foran himself was just phenomenal in the amount of times that he just stopped a try happening. You know, the JoJo Fifita, he had no right. He had no right to be over there when Valentine Holmes is going over in the left-hand corner, but he was there. And that's Jesse Hasler effect. You know, JoJo never has really improved based on what we know he can do until now. He's really bought into this Jesse Hasler team. And that was a real prime example of that. Also had a couple of line breaks in this game. Overall, this was probably, in our short history, in our lackluster history, one of the better games that I've ever seen us play. Because to be facing that much adversity, again, if we have all of our players, you've got to remember, we also have no Jaden Campbell right now. We also have no Tanner Boyd right now. We also have, some other players that we don't... Tino, another one that we don't have right now.
Kina Palacina,
you know. And then we've lost guys like... We've also had no Tommy Weaver for backup. We lost this game Brimmer. We lost this game Harley Smith Shields. We lost this game Foran. And we lost Philip Sami. That's how deep our injuries go. And we may be forgetting someone. But at the end of the day, we won this game. And we earned it. We deserved it. And there wasn't any Cowboys fans complaining about the refereeing in a majority. And that's what's beautiful about it. The two wins that we've had against the Warriors and the Cowboys, the fans aren't complaining about the referees. So, you know, I just think that says a lot about this team right now. And it says a lot about Desi Hasler and the imprint that he has in this team at the moment.
Certainly. There were so many opportunities to roll over in this game. And we probably would have rolled over under Holbrook or other coaches we've had in the past. But it's a Des Hasler effect where we just absolutely
refuse to. The evidence is there to suggest it.
100%, mate. I've got the casualty ward on screen now so that our viewers can see that on YouTube. Jaden Campbell, round 12. That was round 11 when we recorded yesterday. So that's been pushed back. Kieran Foran, round 12. Sammy, round 15. Tanner Boyd, round 16. Tino next season. AJ Brimson, round 18. Harley Smith-Shields, round 17. Usually we go through that a bit earlier on the show there, guys, but we forgot on this one. We're doing it a little bit differently to what we usually do, but there is our NRL casualty ward. Yeah, mate, I agree with everything you say. The only thing I'll add as well, we have not been able to verse a Cowboys side full strength for so long now. You go to earlier this year, we almost came back, but Kieran Foran got injured during the game. And then when we versed them last year in Townsville as well, we were winning and Brimson and Foran got injured. So we could very well be like five wins in a row over the Cowboys. And they've been a good side playing finals in one of those years. But it's just the injuries we keep getting during. I'm super proud of this effort. And yeah, I think that all Titans fans should ultimately be very proud of that. Absolutely. We'll move to our frontline's finest, man. And a quick announcement for our viewers and listeners here. We created a custom medal today. So we have a custom medal that has the Gold Coast Titans frontline's finest, we're going to call it. And I've got it getting shipped to Blazer's house. And at the end of the season, we'll get him to do an Instagram video and give it to the player who receives it. I'm sure it'll be a huge honour. Some are saying it's the next Dally M. Some are saying it's the next Clive Churchill, Man of Steel, and every other award you can put in one. Alrighty, I'll kick us off, man. My 3 points, AJ Brimson for me, shifted into the halves on late notice and just thought he created the most opportunity for us in attack. He had energy around the football the whole game, and I really liked how he can just transition to the halves seamlessly. There's no, you know, when Kalen Ponga, who has a Dally M, shifts from fullback to 5'8", you know it. He's not the same player. When Brimson shifts from fullback to center to 5'8", you don't know any difference because he just has such a great game style where he's always around the ball, he's always hunting, and he's always creating opportunities for us. So my 3 points goes to Brimo. Who are you going to give your three to?
Mate, I can't go past Foz. I cannot go past Kieran Foran. I think he was the leader that we needed in this game. I think that he absolutely crushed it defensively. I think there was like, what, seven try-saving tackles that he made, like six or seven try-saving tackles. It was absolutely insane. You know, he made 73 run meters from 11 runs, even had a few post-contact meters, had a line break assist in this game. But the big one here is 18 tackles made for no miss. And I can tell you that a good 5 to 7 of these tackles were try-saving tackles. You know, some of the plays that he was making in this game were just absolutely superb. And, you know, obviously he's a big part of our kicking game right now. I really struggle to see where our kicking game comes from this week. Chris Randall's going to have to play a big part there, and Sammy Verrills. But yeah, Kieran Foran kicked for 383 metres, AJ Brimo kicked for 165 metres, and then you've got Randall at 54 and Verrills at 10. So Kieran is such an integral part to this team right now, doing a fantastic job leading. I really do like the way that he captains this team. And I think that, as I said, without him, you could clearly see the ship was starting to sink when he went off the field. So I do think that if he stays on the field, I think we still win this game by probably 10 to potentially 14 points. That's the mark you'd look at considering 1-2 and they scored too late. So 10 to 14. But I do think that Kieran Foran deserves my 3 points 100%.
Well, my 2 points goes to Kieran Foran for all the reasons you said. An incredible leader, and I think everyone would have to agree, he has gone to another level this year, being under Des Hasler again, the coach who he's performed his best across his career. But he hasn't gone to a new level with just how he's playing form-wise. He's gone to a new level in terms of his influence over this side. I feel like last year he was kind of our chief playmaker, and everyone acknowledged that. But this year, maybe it's the absence of Tino, maybe it's being on the Des again, but he is the genuine spiritual leader of this team. Maybe that sounds weird, but every single young player respects him. Everyone at the club respects him, and he just gets that buy-in that we need. And you're right, once he did go off injured, we kind of lost that. I won't say we lost the buy-in because obviously we had people defending everywhere, but we didn't look as good as when Kieran was out there. That is absolutely for sure. He gets my 2 points. Who are you going to give your 2 points to?
Yeah, I've got to give it to AJ Brimo, the big daddy boom dog. He was fantastic. He led us around the park as well. He's an attacking spark. He's an electric machine and really, really enjoying the way that he's been playing his footy. It's obviously so sad that now he is injured and he did come out in this game, scored that try, which was massive. And yeah, really, really appreciative of how daddy brim dog has really taken it the reins here. And regardless of the adversities facing the offseason, changing positions and going from center then to fullback and to 5'8", and no matter where he goes, he does a great job there. And I know he loves his club and wants the results, man. So 7 tackle breaks in this game is absolutely fantastic. When you're getting close to David Fifita, Dave goes massive in regards to tackle breaks. He got 15, he got 11 in this game, and AJ was at 7. So yeah, I think that AJ definitely gets my 2.
Speaking of Dave, he probably could have got my 1 point with his try and try assist. I thought he played really strong in this game, especially considering the amount of noise that was surrounding him at the time. But I'm actually going to go someone else. I'm going to go Cleese Haas. When the game finished, they had him for 42 tackles and 0 misses. That's now updated to 43 tackles for 1 miss. He made 91 metres, and he also had 3 offloads. I just think over 80 minutes, that's a really great display from a guy who's only in his, what, second or third full season of NRL? Maybe you could say second, not even full season. Really, this is Cleese's first genuine opportunity to be in the 17 every Absolutely. Week he's had. And I just feel like he's taken it with both hands, and he's just got that effort for the full 80. And yeah, I couldn't go past him, man. Cleese gets my 1 point. Who are you going to give yours to?
Yeah, big shout out to Cleese there. I think he's had one of the more underrated seasons across the competition as well. And obviously hasn't been picking up a great deal of the points in the frontline's finest, but we always do give him a good shout out because he has been doing so fantastic this year, taking on a new role. Obviously would have had a bigger role if Dave wasn't staying. With that being said, he could be our 13, and he just showed that he can be our 13. Cleese is the best ass in the business, baby. So he's actually not getting my 1 point, even though I say all that. It's a big shout out to him. My 1 point has to go to the Titans man of the match. That's JoJo Fifita. It's going to go to Big JoJo. Okay, cool. I can't miss out on him. Has scored a try in this game. Had that immaculate try-saving tackle that he had no right to make when he's on the opposite side of the field. Gets across and does it to an Origin Australian caliber player is what I'm trying to say there in Valentine Holmes. Had 13 runs for 156 run meters. had 34 post-contact meters with two line breaks in this game, had five tackle breaks as well. So he's up there similar alongside BK and also Brimo. And then you've also got the – he had an offload in the game. Defensively, there were a couple of situations there, but I do think that was more later on in the game when we were starting to lose out on our talent. But at the end of the day, if he doesn't make that stop on Val Holmes, I don't know if we win this game. So I definitely have to give him my 1 point. But massive shout out there to Klee Sars as well. He definitely deserves it. And Dave as well. You know, Dave does, you know, deserve a point. I would have struggled to give him points if he hadn't have re-signed today throughout the season. But yeah, look, I think that Dave definitely does get the a good shout out. And also, another one that completely, you know, glossed over here, Bowie Firma. Bowie Firma was a machine in this game. He is so unlucky to not get a point in this game. That's how quality our performances were. And also, Keanu Kenny did a great job there as the fullback. We needed him in this game. He came through. He delivered. When he debuted, it was in Magic Round last year. So hopefully this week he can turn up again. But massive shout out to Bowie Firma. Cannot believe he hasn't got a point here, but that's how good we were.
And I think as well, like, we don't want to shout out the whole team. Well, maybe we do. But Jimmy Joloff as well was huge. I don't think he came off for a break in the middle there. I think Jimmy played the full 80. He was massive as well. So really, we could...
I want to give some stats on Bowie. 18 runs for 180 metres, 72 post-contact metres, a line break in his game, three tackle breaks, also had 25 tackles for no missed. Oh, man, he deserves a spot. He really deserves a spot. Bowie's unreal.
I love that. And I think what makes those 25 tackles, sorry if I cut you off there, the 25 tackles for zero misses, what makes that so impressive, man, is they weren't just at back row. They were on the wing at times. They were at center at other times. They were in the middle. He kind of defended everywhere. And to be able to show that versatility in his game, that's something that will put Bo ahead of someone for that edge back row spot on the Maroons bench, maybe this year, if not certainly in future seasons.
I'm giving my point to Bo. I'm sorry, Jojo, I love it. You. You have been absolutely phenomenal in this game. But those stats there for Bowie, they deserve the point. But Jojo was given our man of the match in this game. So I think that I'm happy to give him the man of the match there from the Titans and whatnot. But I've got to give my point to Bowie. Those stats are too good.
Mate, I love it. I think that if our viewers were to put their 3-2-1s in the comments, there'd be a lot of different ones because so many of our boys stood up and so many deserve points. But ultimately, we can only give a 3-2-1 each week. Although maybe we implement a rule where it's like a once per season, you can give out a bonus point or something like that. Like a joke around or something like that.
There you go. Yeah, like
that. That's exactly what I was thinking. All right, let's move to our next segment, man. This is our affiliates recap. So how did our reserve grade sides go? How did they perform? Which Titans top 30 players performed? Who needs to improve? Ladder and an update on next round, etc. Alrighty, so unfortunately, the Jets do go down by a large score to Wynnum Manly Seagulls. They defeat us 40-8 there. And Tweed lose a heartbreaker by field goal to the Townsville Blackhawks, 21-20. Here is how our Jets players went. Aaron Schopp, one try, 196 metres, 72 post-contact, three tackle breaks, nine made, three misses, and two errors. But for Shoppy to play that way in a huge loss, incredible. And I'm really glad he's back for us in the NRL this round. I'm excited to see what he can do. Kenny Mamalo had 132 metres and one offload as his only attacking stat. Joey Stimson moved to prop. He had nine hit-ups for 148 metres. 54 of those came post-contact, and he also made 33 tackles for only three missed. Blaze, how did our Seagulls players go last round?
Seagulls, there's my noise for you. There's my noise. Yeah, they had a great game, man. Like, to only lose by 1 point is frustrating, but at the end of the day, our boys, they did what they needed to do. Tony Francis, one try, 214 metres, 93 post-contact, four tackle breaks. This guy had an absolute machine of a game. Obviously, shout-out to Jenko, Sammy Jenko. He's a massive fanboy. Tony and him, I want the love that these guys have for each other. So big shout-out to Jenko and Francis on their engagement. Jacob Alaguinki, he played the full 80 at back row. Not lock, eight runs for 65 metres with three tackle breaks, two offloads and 41 tackles. Did have a few missed there, but at the end of the day, great performance there by Jacob Arlequinke. Palacia, he played 41 minutes at lock, 8 runs for 78 metres with 13 tackles for 2 miss. I was talking to Cannon at the end of the Titans game the other night, and basically he's obviously just coming back from an injury. He's just trying to get the fitness in. He is playing for us this week against the Knights, but he is just obviously trying to really... I saw a couple of comments saying, why aren't the Titans using him? One, it's because he hasn't been available for a long time. He's been injured. But also, two, he's working himself back. He's trying to get his match fitness back up, and that's exactly what he's doing here. We had Isaac Fasu-Malawi, who had 24 minutes for 5 runs, for 56 metres, 22 tackles for no miss. So great defensively there, but still just not getting the minutes. Still just not getting the minutes there. So, yeah, really frustrating there for Isaac, but you just got to keep working on hard.
Yeah, keep doing what you can, Isaac, in that game time. And if there is something or a niggling injury that we're not aware of, obviously we apologise and wish you all the best in recovery. But we just want to see you play more minutes, man, especially after what was a brilliant preseason by you. Blaze, I'll bring it up on screen for you here on StreamYard. Our Jets play the Hunters in Port Moresby. Yep. You can watch that on Queensland Plus. That is on Saturday, the 18th of May at 3 p.m. And I'll switch over to the ladder now so our viewers can see where our sides sit. Unfortunately, Tweed, they were ninth last round. They now dropped to 12th. And unfortunately, again, our Jets are now in last place there. Tweed do have the bye.
It's pretty frustrating in regards to Tweed, who did lose to the Blackhawks, who are in 13th. So that makes that even more of a heartbreaking loss. But with that being said, in regards to Ipswich, they do have the bye over Clydesdales. So Ipswich is still above the Clydesdales if you give them their bye, just for context.
Absolutely. Titans that are named at the moment is Jalen DeGroote. He is also on our extended bench in the NRL this week. Kenny Mamalo will be there for us. Cole Foxhall, that's someone we thought we might have liked to have seen come in this week in the halves. Joey Stimson's there at prop for us. Seth Nicotimo returns from his head knock, so that's awesome. Arama Howe, another one of our juniors. So a few more Titans this week, which is awesome to watch there in the Queensland Cup. All righty, Blaze just threatened me before he edited that.
I'll leave it in if you're going to say that. I'm going to leave in what you just said.
All righty. I said a joke whilst we were off air. Let's move to our preview of the next round. We'll break down our game this week against the Knights and give our keys to victory. I tell you what, mate, I went first for the recap, so I'll let you go first for the preview this round. How do you break down our game against the Knights?
Yeah, Newcastle, Schmewcastle, mate. What's new in the castle, mate? Oh, I've been seeing you going a little bit, you know, getting up and out of about the brickies.
Go and take someone's head off in the charity match, your dog. I'm just joking.
He's not joking. He's not joking.
Hopefully he watches this.
No, we do love a bit of Neil, so he's a big bopper. He's a good bloke, and the Knighted as well. Getting around their team there. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to have to come in and we're going to have to do the job here against this Newcastle Knights team that is definitely very winnable against. But, obviously, we are in a dramatic situation in regards to our injuries. As we've gone over, just to re-clarify for everybody, we have no AJ Brimson. We have no Harley Smith-Shields. We have no Kieran Foran. We have no Philip Sami. We have no Jaden Campbell. We have no Tanner Boyd. We have no Tina Faasua-Malawi. And we've also got no Tommy Weaver, who is on the extended bench here this week. He is on the extended reserves. But I can tell you that on Sunday, he was telling me that he was taking his wrist brace off tomorrow, which was Monday, right? So Tom Weaver is there and they're giving him every opportunity. I think that he's putting his hand up saying, like, if I'm needed, then I'll get in. But obviously, I don't think that he's ready yet with that injury. So for people who see his name there and go, oh, Tom's there, why is he not being selected? That's the reason, is because he's still coming back from that wrist injury, which is why he hasn't been playing for Tweed either. So, yeah, it's a big frustrating moment here for the club right now where we have got a ton of injuries and we need to, you know, mix it up. Do you want to go through the team list here and just tell yeah, so man, you I'll can explain? To the top. Yeah, just show the team list there so we can go through and talk about the way our team's set up this week.
Yep, just accidentally clicked on Dave there. Sorry. All righty, so Keanu Kinney is our fullback. Alofiana Khan Pereira is recall on the wing. His wing partner is Jojo Fifita. Our centers are Brian Kelly, and Aaron Schopp comes in to replace the injured Harley Smith-Shields. Our halves combination is Chris Randall and Sam Verrills. As a fun fact, the last time Sam Verrills played halfback, Chris Randall was playing hooker for the Knights in lower grades. Our front row is Moeki Fodoaker, Jimmy Joloff, and the hooker, sorry, is Aaron Clark. Our back row is Dave Fifita, Bo Firm, or Cleese Haas. Our interchange is Keenan Polisea, Isaac Liu, Josiah Pahulu, and Joe Stimson, who won't be playing for the Jets. Sorry, we saw him on the team list there earlier and said he was there. Our apologies. Our extended bench is Tommy Weaver, Tony Francis, Jacob Alekwinski, Isaac Fa'asul Malawi, and Jalen DeGroot. Of those reserves, I think realistically the only ones that are a chance to come in would be Tommy Weaver, depending on how his wrist injury recovers, although I think it's unlikely. Interchange as well. Your thoughts on that? I wish we had like a utility option, but we don't even really have a halves option, so not much we can do there, right?
Yeah, this is a difficult one when you look at that bench because like we know Desi, and Desi, the team lineup is just not going to be the one it is. Like, we all know Desi by now. A Desi magic for magic round is going to happen, and there is going to be switches, whether that's, you know, Isaac Liu coming in or Palacio coming in. I don't think so, but in the same sense, Desi's Desi. So it's an interesting bench. We don't have a backline utility, which does make it quite difficult here because, you know, touch wood, this doesn't happen. We love these boys. We don't want injuries to happen, obviously. But if Keanu goes down, who goes fullback? Do you put Lofty to the fullback? But then who goes wing? You know, you maybe have to put BK to the wing and then obviously move Bowie into the centers or whatnot. But, you know, this is the frustrating situation. Tony Francis wouldn't have been a bad shout to come into this team. I don't know kind of how he's tracking in the mind Desi, but obviously had a great game there for Tweed on the weekend, yeah. It's just, I'm not worried about our forwards. Our forwards are fine. The hooker, Aaron is great. Love him. Not a hooker. And he says this to me as well, you know, but he will work as hard as possibly can to get the job done where he is selected. Aaron is a tough worker, man. He's been having a fantastic season so far. Not necessarily in hooker. So it's going to be really interesting to see there. But with that being said, Sam Farrell and Chris Randall will also play as a bit of a hooker. You know, they're just known for that. You know, you can't coach that really out of them in this week, right? So they will still just run straight into hooker and take the ball and pass and whatnot. And it will be a bit of a mix-up. It's going to be really interesting to see how this team plays because I will tell Titans fans, I would not go into this game expecting a win. But I will also tell you, that this Knights team is absolutely beatable. They are absolutely beatable. They're having some good form recently and they're getting some wins. But also, just to quickly go back and have a look at their previous games, if it will load up here, the teams that this Knights team is beating right now is the Tigers, 20-14, who have also got a few injuries right now, the Warriors, who we beat a couple of weeks ago, 14-8, the Dolphins, which was a good one there, they got pumped by the Dogs 36-12. They lost the Roosters 22-20. Yeah, they beat the Dragons. They're very up and down. So if you look at their season so far, they're getting a couple of losses and they'll get a win. And then they'll have a couple of losses and they'll get a win. And they've had a couple of wins on the trot now. So maybe it's their time to lose. Now, maybe I'm just looking into that too deeply. But I truly do give our team every opportunity to snatch an upset here. It'll be through defense. It has to be a low-scoring game. It cannot be a 40-30. It cannot be like a 26-20 kind of game. We can't win that way, not with the team that we've got here. But we have to win like a 16-14, 14-12, even 11-10. Hell, 1-0. I don't care. Who kicks the field goal, though? That's another question for you. So it's a real makeshift team. But gee whiz, do I love this team. And I back them in. So winnable game, tough game. But I'm going to go on the winnable side here. And I will say that if we come in with the Dez mentality that has been built in and driven into this team now throughout this offseason and into this year, I'm telling you, we have a good opportunity to snag an upset. Especially as well, this team is quite distracted right now. You know, we've had a big signing of Dave. You know, we've got some real happy vibes at the club right now, coming off a big win there against the Cows. Well, the Knights, they've got the Kalen Ponga situation right now that's happening. So, you know, hopefully there's a bit of distraction there. They've got a couple of players out as well. Tyson Gamble, Daniel Saifiti. They've got more of a solidified halves combination there. But I'm telling you, winnable game.
It's absolutely a winnable game. And The reason why I say that is our last five games have been decided by 4 points or less. In none of those games have we been anywhere near full strength. The reason why I can't be as confident as I was last week against the Cowboys is because of the halves situation, because we don't have a genuine leader in the halves there. But I do mirror your thoughts that defensively, we can win this game. It needs to be won through defense. Interesting game for me. You go to us versus the Knights, and I think it goes back like 13 games now. When we play at Seabus, we win. When we play at McDonald Jones, they win. And Suncorp is a bit of a neutral venue for both sides. I'd probably give us a little bit of the edge because we are a Queensland team. Titans, we're 2 from our last 5. The Knights are 3 from their last 5, and they are on a 3-game win streak. Both sides average exactly 17 points each so far this season. The Knights do concede 9 less points per game, but I believe that was just due to our start of the season. We didn't defend very well against the Dragons and the Bulldogs in rounds 1 and 2. I make the assessment that based on our last 5 weeks of footy, we are up there as a defensive football side. We can win games through our defense. And I know that's a bit weird because, we had 30 points leaked against Manly and stuff like that. But when we do have those lapses in concentration, we don't fade out of the game and give up like we have in previous seasons. We stick in it and we keep fighting. Whereas I just felt with some of our previous coaches we'd get all this great momentum. They'd score a try or two and the team would go, damn, this isn't working out like we thought it would. And we'd kind of drop our heads a little bit. Now the other team scores and under Desi, we're kind of like, Let's do it, boys. We're in a battle here. This is an arm wrestle. We're up for this. We're not going to let our coach down. The Knights' game plan and their game style these last 3 weeks on their 3-game win streak, my God, it's been so boring to watch as a football fan. I know you'll agree because you would have streamed those 3 games. Just boring. It's such a patient approach. And I think that approach will either go one of two ways. Either one, it will work because we have so many injuries and we're not have our strongest lineup. Or two, because we've got two hookers defending in the halves and we've got 80-minute forwards now in Jolliffe, Haas, Fifita. Well, basically our whole forward pack is 80-minute forwards now, really, besides Aaron Clark. We've got 4 props on the bench as well. So we're going to have that strong defense throughout. There's actually every opportunity we really frustrate the Knights. And if we do turn them away a few times, they start to think, okay, we're being patient, but we're not cracking their wall. What can we do? And then they'll start to chance their arm a little bit. And when the Knights chance their arm and they don't have X factor like Kalen Ponga, they simply make errors, and it's predictable side-to-side movement of the football, and they're a very easy football side to shut down. So my key to victory, Blaze, is frustrate them through our defense. We cannot concede early points. We must set the tone early with our defense. We must let their spine know points are not going to come easy today. And I think if we do that, we can frustrate them just enough to get them off their game, and we have just enough points in us through our X factors of Kinney, Dave Fifita, Brian Kelly, Sam Verrills, etc., that we can get over for a few tries ourselves and get the win that way. The Knights have won 3 of their last 4 against us, but I mean, I'm going to put that stat aside, man. I'm confident that if we stay composed with our defense, I reckon we can win this game. I'm going to go us to win by tight margin. I'll say we're in that 1-12 range. You agree?
Yeah, I'm saying you're a beautiful man, mate. You're a beautiful man. Gee whiz, tipping us. That gets you going. That gets you going. We've also won our last 2 Magic Round games, obviously, last year. And they've been close games too, mind you. Last year, we played the Parramatta Eels, and we won that game, which was just a high scoring. I think it was like 28-26 or 26-24, something like that. It was crazy in wet weather. And then also the year before that, we played the Dragons, and we won with Jermaine Asako scoring a try on the right-hand wing, like literally in the 90th or 89th minute, right? So absolutely insane. A couple of finishes there. So maybe we might get another one here. And it's probably what's going to be needed to win this game with just a gritty mindset. Hopefully we can get off to a good start like we did on the weekend. But again, really lacking in the depth department. And I will say as well, there's been a lot of people saying, well, why didn't we bring Kyle Foxwell in? Why didn't we bring Tommy Stedman in? 2 halves, put him in. At least they know what they're doing. The reason why I will go back at you here and say you're entitled to your opinion, you're allowed to have that, and I understand the suggestion. I understand that you do want to see halves in the half-back position, the 5-8 position. But I will say, Tom Stedman and Kyle Foxwell play for 2 separate feeder clubs, 1 for Ipswich and also 1 for Tweed. These guys had 1 half of a game together in the preseason this year. These guys have never played NRL action before. So you would be debuting 2 halves into the competition on Magic Round, Suncorp Stadium, sold out. you know, maybe players can thrive through that, but are you really willing to take that risk? Because that could crush their souls. They could come in, they could get embarrassed off an injury-gutted and depleted team here with the Titans, and they could be in a real, real bad situation in regards to their mentality going forward. I understand the suggestion. Maybe if you were going to do the thing, you'd have Chris Randle play six and you'd have Kyle Foxwell on the seven, or you'd have, you know, Sammy Verrills in the seven and you'd have Tommy Seven in the six. I'm okay with that thought process, but I don't want to throw these two young blokes into the Wolves together at this moment. I think that would just be a really silly thing to do. And I believe in Dez. I believe in what Dezzy is doing here. You can clearly see that he knows what he's doing. We've got that defensive mentality. And I think the way that we win this game is by not buying into the occasion. I think that we need to really understand that this is Magic Round. Everyone's going to be there. You know, it's a big atmosphere. It's the cauldron, a winnable game. But I don't want to buy into the occasion. I want to buy into this is what we're doing week to week, whether it's Magic Round, whether it's Seabus, whether it's GIO Stadium. I don't care. I just want to find a way to... I want these boys to know that they're there for each other. They know how to defend together. You're seeing guys like JoJo cross the field. We just want to see much of the same. And the way the winning formula here is to just keep on playing like it's a regular game of footy that we need to win. And if we do that, we do win this game because the Knights are a very beatable team. So forget Magic Round. It's about the Titans. And it's about coming together as a team. That's what I'll say. Titans by four.
All righty, Titans fans. It is time for everyone's favorite segment. It is time to phone the front line from this telephone right here that you can see on screen behind me, maybe, if you're on YouTube.
Do they still have those telephone boxes?
They do, and when that Optus outage was down, I actually had to use one to call my work and tell them that I'm alive because I couldn't contact anyone. They're free to use now. So, yeah, anyone can rock up and use them wherever they are. You can phone the front line off it. Actually, I don't think you can, but if you could,
you probably can't because you need to go onto the website. But those things, man, they used to be the dodgiest things because they would just be writing and scribble and scratches everywhere. But you know what? And probably still are, to be completely honest with you. We're completely getting off track here. Let's listen to some people.
Absolutely. We will go Jai first up.
Well, hello, boss.
Hello.
I guess my question is a bit null and void now, given today's circumstances. But I ask, as a new question, our off-contract boys, who do you see staying and who do you see leaving? Back to the best Haas in the business of the Gold Coast Mullets, Cleese Haas is off contract. And given how much money we got to throw around and the halfback situation, who will stay and who will go? Cheers, boys.
I mean, I love the pleasure is all ours there. Oh, David Attenborough. Was it Jai or was it David Attenborough? Because I don't know. But I do know who's off contract. I'll read them out for you one by one. Let me know if you think re-sign, not sure yet, or move on. Jacob Alek-Winski.
Oh, I would love to re-sign Jacob Alek-Winski. I think that he is a great player. I think that we need him in regards to depth. But with that being said, does he want to, you know, stick around when, you know, we do have Bowie, we do have Dave Fafita, we do have Cleese, but then Cleese could go to 13 because you're about to mention a guy that more than likely won't stick around. So I would love to see Jacob Alek-Winski stay around because he is a phenomenal player.
I agree. If we can't promise Jacob Alek-Winski a bench position from next year onwards, you know, potentially he could be the man that replaces Isaac Liu like for like. But if we can't, I'd still like to see us re-sign him or at least have like a deal that I'm trying to think what the young player's name is. He was a half at Manly and he went to the Super League. Cade Cust. And they have a deal with him that when he returns to the NRL, he must return to the Manly or at least Manly get first dibs at him. I like that with Jacob as well. Oh, yeah. Like, even if we have to pay a portion of his salary, get him over in a first grade competition, getting that experience every week because he's a Papua New Guinean international, always plays great on that stage. And then in a year or two, whenever Dez thinks he's ready, get him back and get him in our starting lineup because Jacob does have that potential. So
I think
yes
as well, there was rumors as well last year that Jacob Alek-Winski was looking at going to the Super League. So that may work out. Like, Jacob is a fantastic guy, and I would love to see some great work with him, but it's just our team right now is jam-packed, especially in the back row. If Dave had have left, then, which is what Jai was referring to, mind you, but if Dave had have left, that would have given Jacob a fantastic opportunity to come on the bench there, but obviously that's not the case now. So he's just got to keep on working hard to get above guys like Kinapalasia, potentially, you know, Kalis Haas, Josiah Pahulu and whatnot. It's not easy, but, you know, and there is that opportunity for with Isaac, but Liu, that is. But with that being said, you know, then we would have no backs utility there as well.
And I think just to point out what you said there, like Josiah Pahulu is a guy that we expected to debut this year, but we probably didn't expect him to lock down a position in the 17, which he's done now through strong performances. He got an opportunity through injuries and he took it with two hands. So Jacob needs to do that this year when his opportunity does come, and I'd love to see us re-sign him for his potential. Our next player is Kieran Foran. I'll go first. No brainer. If Kieran wants to play another year, yes, we re-sign him. Yourself?
He will be re-signed. He will be re-signed. I will say this right now. Kieran Foran will be re-signed. He loves on the coast, wants to stay on the coast. He's got an amazing family, and he's going to stay on the coast. So absolutely, I have no doubt in my mind. I'll put my hand on heart and say Kieran Foran will re-sign.
Perfect. Let's breeze through these next ones so we can get some more questions in. Cleese Haas, re-sign or let go?
Oh, it's re-sign. Not even a question.
Yeah, completely agree. Isaac Liu, I'm going to say let go just due to his age. I think he probably wants to retire himself at the end of this year or go to the Super League. And I think we've got younger options like a Jacob Arlequin-Key that can replace him.
Yeah, I think he's done what he's needed to do in a time that we needed him. But I do think that probably by the end of this year, we are more so looking towards the future. Dez is building something. I'm not too sure if he's in the massively future plans. So, love Isaac. He's a real hard worker, but I do think that, yeah, this would probably be his final year. And it would free up a lot of contract as well.
It would, because we did pick him up on a significant deal there from the Roosters at a time where he was not only a Kiwis player, but also a dual premiership winner. So our next player is Joe Stimpson. I think it's my turn to go first here. I'm going to say no, because I think Joe's one of those players where he is a very good, I don't want to say journeyman, but he will do the job for you every week, but you know what his ceiling is. You're not going to get to that next level from him. And then there's players like Nathan Brown who swap around clubs and his form is different at different clubs. Like he was bad at the Roosters and now he's great at the Seagulls. So if we get rid of Joe Stimpson, I reckon we take that risk and sign someone like a Tepai Moroa or a, I was going to say a Jazz Devunga or a Brody Jones or someone like that, mate, that like could play to a little bit of a higher standard. I'm never unhappy to see Joe in our lineup. I just think that we could get something a little bit more out of some other guys. So I'll say no. What are you going to say for Joe?
Super nice guy, Joey Stimmer. Just super nice guy. I think this is a really difficult one. That's why you probably would have seen my face like questioning that, because I do think that he is a really, really good depth option for us. I don't think that he would be getting over the top of, especially with our front rowers right now. We've got the Mo, we've got the Jolliffe, and we've got the Tino conundrum going into next year. Now, obviously, one of those will go to the bench, and there's no, you know, shame in going to the bench there. Maybe Moe comes off as the impact there, or maybe Jimmy Jolliffe comes off as the impact. You don't know. Tino will obviously start, but, you know, Joey Simo, for me, is a bench rotation forward. I definitely think that he is a solid bench rotation forward, and I would not be unhappy if we re-signed him. But I could see where you're coming from. I personally think that for Joe, it would be better to go elsewhere, but who's really going to be coming knocking?
Yeah, I think the only club that would really be interested in Joe at this stage would be someone like the Melbourne Storm, where he's been before, and they know he's just got that professional work ethic. So that could work out for Joe. But yeah, I agree with you, mate. Like our middle options next year is Tino, Isaac, Mo, Pahulu, Palacia, Haas, Jolliffe, Arlequin-Key, Leo will be gone, Chris Randall, and Aaron Clark. We've got enough middle forwards that I think whether we re-sign or don't re-sign Joe, it'll be kind of inconsequential to our 2025 campaign. Final one, Tommy Weaver, re-sign or let go?
I think we have to re-sign him. We don't have much depth in the halves as it is right now. He's not obviously on a great deal of money, and I would say that Tommy Weaver wouldn't be taking up much cap space at all, so I'd be happy to keep Tommy. He's a previous under-19s origin player for New South Wales, has definitely got some good future ahead of him. So definitely keep him around, and we definitely need the depth right now. But obviously, He's not necessarily our starting half right now, but keep on working hard. He's still super young, and I would say yes.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just want to see Tommy able to put a full season together with a consistent spine at reserve grade. We kind of got it last year, but then there was also some chopping and changing. Once we're full strength again, I'm really excited for Tommy Weaver and Keanu Kinney to build their combination in reserve grade. So, yes, I'm saying a big re-sign for Tommy Weaver, and we are saying thank you very much for that question, Jai. Anyone you want to go to in particular for the next one? I know we've got one here from the Knighted, which is a Knights podcast, which should
be
a bit
let's do it. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, get the Knighted on. Get the Knighted on.
All righty.
All right, boys, it's Link from the Knighted.
Here we go.
I know the Knights don't have the greatest record against the Titans at Suncorp. However, 2024, it's a new year, new era. And even though we don't have our superstar Railing Dally M winner,
Caleb come on, Bonner, let's not talk about players that are missing.
The job done. We are getting the job done. Three
which
on the
version, Brimo?
And cast your minds back to a few weeks ago. We took on the Dolphins at Suncorp, got the W there. That's where the win streak began, and it's going to continue, boys. Unfortunately for you guys, the Knights are just building more and more in confidence on the back of some gritty defense. The points are coming. They are coming. The attack has struggled a bit. And I guarantee you the points are coming. So I hope I bump into you boys come Saturday. I'll be there each night for Magic Round. It's gonna be a good day. Can't wait. But I think the Knights have got you boys. So
end this voice message now. End it. I'm over him.
Link, great guy. Bad footy take, mate. Titans have you covered in this one. You say the Knights attack's been a little bit off for the last few weeks. Mate, when was it ever on? You're a one-man team without KP. You know, you've already coming out with the excuses saying, oh, I know we're missing our marquee man. We're not missing our captain, our 5'8", our halfback.
No, sorry. You know? I'll stop you there. We're missing two captains. We're missing Tino and Kieran.
And our fullback, our halfback, and our 5'8".
No. I'll stop you there. We're missing two fullbacks. We're missing AJ, and we're also missing JC. And also, sorry, just to cut you off as well, we're also missing two halfbacks, Kieran Foran and Tanner Boyd. Oh, no, sorry, Tommy Weaver. That's three.
Yeah. Link, if you guys – well, sorry, let me rephrase. When you lose this game, I do not want to hear the Kalen Parker excuse. The Titans are hit with way harder injuries than you are at the moment. Mate, great guy. Hopefully we bump into you, but I think you're a bit delusional there.
Twice. He's going to need – you know, he wanted to drink with us. He wanted to drink with us. He's going to need plenty of drinks to get through when the Titans beat him on Saturday afternoon at a beautiful Suncorp, mate. The Cauldron is coming for you. Newcastle. We're winning. Thanks for coming.
I'll shout you a beer, Link, so you can cry over a beer when we win. All righty. Phone the Frontline is back. We will not be playing that one there. Our other advice is don't leave your school email address when you leave us a comment. Our next one is from Dasher. So let's jump into what Dasher's got to say.
Hey, guys. I've been loving this stuff for the past 2 months. I've been pretty much binge-watching it the entire time.
Nice.
So I will be wondering what your opinion on who would be the new Blues halves. Now, I know you guys are both Queenslanders, but I would like your opinion on it because you guys are pretty interesting. Anyway, take care and cheers.
Well, Dasher, first of all, thank you very much for tuning into the podcast. The fact you're binge-watching it is absolutely awesome, mate, and we are very lucky to have someone like you in the Gold Coast Titans frontline community. Please come up and say g'day to us if you see us at Magic Round, Dasher, and it sounds like we'll be shouting you a lemonade, not a beer, which is all fine with us, mate. Look, I'll go quickly on this one. I want to keep it as Titan-related as possible. My 5'8 currently is Matt Burton, and my halfback's Nico Hines. What's your Blues halves looking like?
Yeah, just a big shout out to Dasher. When we were talking about don't leave your school email, wasn't referring to you, bro. So yes. Don't worry, mate. Don't worry. But in regards to the New South Wales halves, I'm thinking Chrissy Randall on the 6 and I'm thinking Sammy Verrills on the 7.
Both are eligible. Both are eligible.
I know. And guess what?
They're going to need some cover.
Everybody. Mate, yeah. Fun fact for everybody. Chris Randall, when he has the number 6 on his back, undefeated, mate. Undefeated. It is what it is. It's a pure fact for you. Thanks for coming.
And the stats don't lie, as Random Stats Guy would say. And I've got another stat for you. Did you know the last time Chris Randall and Sam Verrills were defeated as a halves partnership was never. It's literally never happened in the history of rugby league. So,
honestly,
a lot of great stats going our way. Just back on the Blues real quick, mate. They're going to need some depth. I reckon they go a young gun, someone who's represented them in the junior scene there as their 14 in Tommy Weaver. Let's get Tommy on the bench as well.
His wrist will be okay by then, mate. His wrist will be okay by then.
Oh, he'll be fully recovered. Thank you very much for sending that one in, Dasher. Some premiership muscle on the coast. That's all I'm going to say about that. Alrighty, last one. I can see Adzi Big Daddy D is in there. Oh, I'm going to delete that. I don't want to hear the winner, man. Because I know that he beat us again in reserve, right? I don't want to hear it. So we're going to go to Jay. Jay has sent in a 7-second voice message. Let's listen to Jay.
Hey, lads. Question. Since David Theta is leaving the club, who is the best replacement for yous in the back row?
All right, Jay, no point in playing that one. Let's go to an anonymous one instead that goes for 8 seconds.
I just wanted to get your guys' reaction on the dance moves by the Sloth and how good they were. Were they better than Blazers?
I know who this is. Anonymous. Mr. Slothy Boy. Mr. Chihuahua Boy.
Is that him himself?
This is Mr. Slothy Boy. Yes, it is. Yes. And also, fun fact for everybody, if you are going to Magic Round this weekend, he will be in the Chihuahua Boy suit, in the Bulldog suit tomorrow night for you guys. So if you see a Chihuahua running around in a big suit, I want you to go up and just stare at him and go, Chihuahua Boy, because last year people did do this. I said on my streams and whatnot on BK Sport, I go, hey, guys, if you see the Bulldogs mascot, go up to him and start going, Chihuahua Boy, and apparently so many people did. Fun fact here, Mr. Slothy, I was up on the big screen getting some dance moves going, mate. I was showing the crowd a little bit of something. I didn't see Mr. Slothy Boy up there doing his dance moves, Mr. Slothy. So listen here, I'm going to let Mr. Clarkey decide. But Slothy, I'm pretty certain BKR's got it covered, mate. I think we've got it covered here.
Yeah, look, Blazers, he's got some good dance moves. We've shared some intimate settings before, most notably a double bed in Sydney because I accidentally booked us the wrong room at a hotel. We've parked next to signs that said, what did the signs say again? Roll the dice in a very dodgy area. We've experienced some things together, and this guy's a great dancer. So Slothy, Chihuahua Boy, whatever it was.
Chihuahua Boy. You know what? Before we jump off here, man, let's just do one more.
Let's go this one here, Anonymous 36 Seconds.
Boys, it's Ados here. How are you all? Let's bloody go, Magic Round this weekend. I cannot wait. I tell you what, do you know what's bigger than Magic Round? June 8th. Why is that bigger than Magic Round, you ask? Because it's the clash of the juggernauts of the NRL. The two biggest clubs count head-to-head. The South Sydney Rabbitohs against the Gold Coast Titans. The game of the season, if you will. I cannot wait. I'm super pumped. Let's go, baby. I can't wait to see you there. And hopefully I'll see you in Magic Round too. Let's go, baby.
First thing I'm going to say here is, one, you don't need to be directly on the microphone when you're talking into the microphone. Also, secondly, out of all the teams to be talking smack, I don't think it's the one team that is below us right now.
There's 15 other chances, Aiden. You rolled the dice. And somehow you've rolled the one number you don't want. How do I respond to that? Very keen to see you at Magic Round. That's for sure. I'm just rattled. I've heard South and Premiership muscle in the same sentence, and it doesn't belong. there's only one team with Premiership muscle, and it's the boys from the beautiful Gold Coast. So sorry to say there, Ados.
We never doubted him. We never doubted him, mate. We never doubted him, you know?
Dave, geez, we love you.
What a time to be alive. But I find it so funny. Out of all teams to be talking up right now, I don't think it is the one team that is below us in the Rabbitohs. But I do have some good banter with Trell. So hopefully, obviously, there's some bad situations going on right there right now. But hopefully, Trell and I can have some good banter in regards to his kicking on the sideline, because he was giving it the big one last year, saying he could get every kick in front of me on the sideline there. So That's for another day. We'll have some good fun with that later. Obviously, right now, we focus on Magic Round, having a good time and beating the United, and especially Mr. Nilsso as well. Especially Mr. Nilsso. We're going to just run through you content creators. We've got Nilsso and the United this week. Who do we got next week? We've got the Broncos. They don't have any cat content creators. Don't worry about them. And then we've got the bye, and then we deal with Mr. Ados and Zane. So don't worry. And then the Cars Patrol boys too. So we're coming to slap down, son. Jing!
Was that the end, or was that like the swords slicing our opposition? Because if it was so the end, usually, I'm happy to end it there.
Yeah, so everyone is like, what's he talking about? So usually we end the podcast by me going, jing. That was not me ending the podcast. That was just me going, jing.
All righty. Let's gloss over that awkward moment for myself now. But unfortunately, it is actually time to close the show. That's all we have time for today. But of course, we do want to say thank you very much to everyone who continues to support the podcast. We absolutely appreciate it. We love the community we're building here at the Frontline. Blaze, you're a big part of that. When we hear people say that the atmosphere was awesome at CBUS last round, I know you're a big part of that. So on behalf of everyone else at the Frontline, thank you very much to yourself. What have I got here in the way of puns? I couldn't find many, mate. I've got one. Forget the Knights and Sir Lancelot. I want to see our boys build a win streak here and see our fans dance a lot. Pretty bad, wasn't it? It's pretty bad.
Mate, I don't. Every week is pretty bad. You're asking the wrong person.
But I feel like I've hit a new low.
Mate, if you're asking Adzi Big Daddy D, he's a big fan. Massive, massive fan. He's probably going to be so disappointed that we didn't listen to his voice message this week of him singing that stupid Win of Manly Seagulls song when they beat the Jets. But yeah, no, it wasn't your best effort. But the fact is, mate, you tried your best and you failed miserably. The lesson is never to try.
I did. And our viewers can now see a very special message down the bottom of our show.
Sorry, Adzi Big Daddy D.
All right, we're going to call it there. Thank you very much, guys. We will see you next week at the same time for another great podcast. Do it with me, Blazing. 3, 2, 1.
Can I say bye first?
Okay, you say bye.
Thank you. I'll see you guys. We'll both see you guys at Magic Round. I'll be in section 330, which is the Titan section, getting up, getting loud, getting about it. I'll only be there for the Saturday game, so I think you're going for all games, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll be there for all games, yep.
Yeah, so I'll be streaming tonight for you guys for the Women's Origin, all the games on Friday and the games on Sunday, but I will be there on Saturday because I have now not missed a game in like 2 years, 3 years, like literally home or away. So yeah, it's crazy. It's tiring, but we keep on loving, baby. We keep on getting around this community because without you guys, we're nothing. We love it. We're all one man. And great to know that this man, we never doubted. We never, ever doubted him once. Not one single time. Never in history. Never in history. Live your passion. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something. Slap it down. Guess what's that? I nearly called you Zane, not Dane. All right, 3, 2, 1. Zing.
Sing.
You're late. You're late. You're late. You're late.